The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
New research from the ESRI estimates that about 230,000 children in Ireland are experiencing material deprivation. One of the co-authors of the report noted that poverty has a depressing effect on both social and civic participation. Joining me to talk through that impact on children and their families is Suzanne Connolly, CEO of Barnardo's. Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning.
Suzanne, can you explain to us what is categorised as material poverty?
Material poverty categorises a situation where children are deprived with many of the daily essentials that many can take for granted. So you're talking about having a decent coat, decent shoes, proper heat in the house on a daily basis, the opportunity to engage in social activities, the opportunity maybe once a fortnight to maybe go out and do something with your family. And luckily, many children have the situation where they can have that with their families. But we know from our work in Barnardo's and indeed from a national representative survey that we published a report in relation to in April this year that there's many children and parents who are struggling, because in that survey, 47% of parents told us they worried about being able to have sufficient heat or be able to pay medical bills or cost of the food in the everyday shop. So what they had to do is make very difficult choices. And they were really aware of the impact it had on their children. And, you know, they talked about thinking about how it impacts on children in their emotional well-being, their physical well-being, and particularly when they can't afford to do things with their friends, because they know that their children are then missing out.
It seems incongruous when we have nearly total employment, when we have burgeoning tax takes, and when we are one of the richest countries in the world.
It absolutely does. And I think the situation is that for families who are on low incomes and families who are on social welfare, the rise in inflation of basics like food and heating and electricity really impacts on their daily income and on their capacity to make ends meet. So I think what happens is, because for the majority of families, that's not the case. It's hard to believe that for some families it is. And we know from our work in Barnardo's that the families really appreciate the fact that we would have dry goods available. They can just go into the presses in our centres and take them when they need them. And sometimes, in fact, more than ever, families are coming and asking for food vouchers, because they know if they can get food vouchers from Barnardo, that means they can use the money they would have spent on food on something else. And I suppose for us in Barnardo's, our heart goes out to think of that parents are saying to us that some of their children have, you know, might have holes in their shoes while they're waiting to afford that extra pair of shoes. So we're calling on the government now in this new budget to increase the qualified child allowance for children under 12 by 10 euro, which means it would be 56 euro a week, and for children over 12 by 15 euro, which means it would be 69 euros a week. And that would make a big difference, because that is an allowance that would target both families in social welfare and also families in low income. And indeed, Minister O'Brien was referencing this yesterday at an event he was speaking at, to say he realises that any increase to qualified child allowance would make a significant difference to families who really need it.
And Suzanne, are there any particular patterns in relation to geography or demography that we can infer something into in relation to the poverty?
No, it's across the country. And that's what was so important about Barnardo's asking Amora to do that national representative sample, because it showed that throughout the country there are families who are suffering in this way. And I think rural poverty can be more hidden than urban poverty, because it's more dispersed. And in fact, within rural communities, we'd be aware of this, that petrol makes a massive difference. Because if you want to bring your children to anything, you generally have to drive if you're fortunate enough to have a car. And the other thing is, you can't afford a car, transport isn't as easily accessible as in the city. So I think there's extra stresses when you live outside of an urban environment. But we would know as well, I mean, anyone who lives in Dublin would know this, that there's some areas of the city and indeed the suburbia which are very advantaged in terms of free activities, in terms of natural resources. And there are some communities which don't have that, which means that if our parents do anything positive for their children, they have to spend money. And that's a real inequality in Ireland.
But I assume that even in those communities where parents don't have to spend money, time has a cost. If you are a parent who is struggling to make ends meet, you are unlikely to be able to take the hour or the 90 minutes of an afternoon that it takes to bring a child to a community sports event if you are struggling just to pay bills. That even when it is free, it isn't.
Yes, exactly. And also, I think for some parents who maybe in low income jobs, you know, they have to work the hours that they're given, so they don't have the same time available. And I suppose as well, we're very aware in Barnardus of the psychological impact for parents, and now they try and protect their children, but indeed for children, of the daily grind. You know, worry, it takes a real toll on well-being. And if you're not feeling great, it's hard to have the positivity that you might need in order to enjoy something with your child. And the other thing which breaks our heart is that parents have said to us that they know that when it comes to school activities, their children have sort of made excuses to their peers as to why they can't afford it, because they know the pressures that their parents are under.
This ASRI research shows that there is a slight increase in those experiencing poverty in the last number of years, thanks to the spike in inflation. But the underlying core numbers, Barnardo's has been reporting roughly 1 in 4 children living in poverty for, I think, now 10 or 20 years. Why is it such an intractable problem?
Because I think the cost of living has increased. And remember as well that if the government was able to sort, and I know this is a massive issue, the housing situation, that would make a massive difference in terms of income into families, because then they would be paying less on rent. So it's because everything has increased in price. I mean, that would be my understanding as to why it's such an intractable issue. And the other thing I think it's important to bear in mind as well is that, I mean, different from my childhood, is that the things that the many children now take for granted as part of their daily lives are the children who may not have parents with the same income would also like those things, you know? So I think that things have changed a lot as well over the last 20, 30 years. And if you think about it, for any parent listening today whose children, say, in secondary school, they would be aware of the level of activities that children can enjoy, it provides their parents can afford them, particularly in things like transition year. So I think that's also a significant difference.
Well, of course, Barnardo's does extensive work with the children and families. Can you give us a sense of what the children themselves say, how they perceive living in poverty?
It's interesting for children. I mean, children are so, you know, they're so resilient in a lot of ways. And I think they're also very protective of their parents. So I think what we would, in Barnardo's, we wouldn't have conversations, you know, with children in that context. But what we do is we do everything we can to support them and their parents. So we do run breakfast clubs and after school clubs where there would be a hot meal available, for example. So that means that the parents don't have to worry about cooking for their children during that weekday. We also do provide free activities, which makes a big difference. I mean, our role is that children don't feel that they are less advantaged than some of their peers. And that's why we do all we can in our advocacy and policy work to ensure the government takes that on as well, in the context of, say, for example, making education free for all children so their parents aren't struggling to make the cost of voluntary contributions. But the most important thing that we try and do in our work in Barnardo's is to help parents to do all they can by receiving the support that we give them, to be able to have fun and a sense of joy and well-being in their family life. So we really try and reduce the stresses. And by also really strengthening parents' innate ability to do well by their children, because we sort of say to parents that the most important thing is the love, care and attention they can give. And while children may really like the extra activities, if they can do something with their child, they can be really present in that moment, showing their love for their child, that will make a big difference. But at the same time, it's really important that we do advocate to ensure the government does all it can to increase income support for families who need it.
And I assume one of the motivating factors for governmental support is it is easy for something like this to become an intergenerational problem. All of the data would suggest that the richer you are, the more likely you are to live a healthy life, the more likely you are to have opportunities like third level education, like tertiary education, like better jobs. So this is a problem that just gets passed on from generation to generation.
Yes, that's absolutely the case. And sadly, we do see that in our work in Barnardo's. And I suppose what we really want to try and do, and I think the government is aware of this with the creation of the Child Poverty and Wellbeing Unit, is to have a range of measures across different issues in order to bring the children who need it out of the cycle of deprivation and poverty. So education is key. So in Barnardo's, we work, as do others, to ensure that children get to school, they stay in school, and they have a sense of their possibility to achieve within school. So that's really key, because we know that education is a way out of poverty. But if a child is worried about what's happening at home, or if for whatever reason a parent is really stressed and can't get the child to school on time, or the range of things that can happen, that can really impact on a child's ability to perform well in school and do well. So anything we can do to wrap around children and young people who need it to ensure that they stay in school and they achieve, it is a massive way out of poverty. But the other thing we need to ensure as well is that children aren't going to school hungry. That this is why the hot school meals program the government has introduced is so important, that when they're in school they get fed so they can concentrate. So we do everything we can to ensure that children feel psychologically safe and well in school, so they can achieve and do as well as they can.
Suzanne, you talked about possibly increasing the child benefit payment for those who might be on the margins. Is there an argument to be made for means testing it and giving it only to those and more to those who are on the margins? Because obviously it is given to the rich as much as it is given to the poor.
Yeah, I think what we're specifically asking actually isn't related to child benefits, it's related to the qualified child allowance, because that is targeted at families on low income and social welfare. And we think if the government increases that for children under 12 and children over 12, that will make a significant difference. And that is something that's shared by many in the sector who advocate on behalf of children living in poverty. I think in terms of child benefit, we do think it's important that that's universal in the context, that that's part of government's commitment to all children in Ireland. And also to bear in mind, we never know hidden poverty, even in affluent communities. So that's why we can never assume that families don't need child benefit. However, we know the ESRI has asked for a two-tier child benefit, so as in an extra child benefit, and we're not sure about how that would work in practice, which is why we're asking that specifically the government would use an existing allowance, and that they already have the systems in place to deliver and just increase it.
Suzanne, thank you very much. That's Suzanne Connolly, who is Chief Executive of Barnardo's, a text to say, I'm truly astonished it's taken so long to highlight the fact that poverty in Ireland has never been so widespread. You have a situation where couples who are both working full-time are in actual poverty. It's driven by energy prices, house costs, childcare costs, and, quotes, green taxes. The government can change this if they actually want to. 53106 at a cost of 30 cents if you'd like to get in touch, or you can do it for free, 087 1400 106.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.